Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You can find us at 95.9 on your FM radio dial or kgvm.org on the interwebs, and you can stream our programming from our website. Tonight, we're in the KGVM studios, and I'm joined by Adrian Jay and his fiance and co-producer, Morgan May. And I want to thank you guys for coming in tonight.
It's a pleasure. We're really happy to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think the reason for your appearance is the imminent release of a new album.
Well, the release has happened.
Okay.
Yep, it has happened already. That was on July 22nd, but we're still just riding that wave and spreading the word. And so, we're just happy to be here.
Yeah. I think that we had played, a single of yours a year or two ago that we were playing a little bit, but looking forward to we're giving some spins to the new album. And
Absolutely. A couple of years ago, I did that song, Trestle Bridge, under a different name, The It of Adrian. And then a couple months ago, we had the single I Do from the album. And so that was the lead single. It went pretty well. And what do you think, Morgan?
Yeah, I thought it went well, and I'm just hoping there's more success for the album.
Yeah, and some people might be wondering why Morgan is here. I consider her to be my Eleanor Roosevelt, kind of. Like, people tend to like me a lot more when she's here.
So, you're welcome.
I would like you even if Morgan didn't come.
But not as much.
Well, I'm going to plead the fifth.
And, okay. You know. Yeah.
So what's the title of the album?
The title of the album is called On a Tightrope.
That's right.
Yeah, first song, title track, Tightrope. When I wrote that one, it just seemed like a totally new jumping off point, and it seemed like a good start of an album. And so here we are, On a Tightrope.
Did that come to be over time? That did making an album feel like walking a tightrope a little bit?
That's a very good analogy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much balance there was, considering I, quit my job, sacrificed my income and all of that, and did, go full headlong into the album making process. I guess Morgan pointed out a really good analogy. She kind of, it made her think of the straight and narrow path as spoken of by Jesus, actually. And so when she mentioned that, it gave it a whole new perspective. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
So you kind of recorded a lot of the album yourself and self-produced?
Yeah, that's correct. It did start as a project in Jericho Studios. And because of my lack of creative direction, admittedly, a lot of what I recorded there, unfortunately, didn't make the album. But there was enough material there to kind of start self-producing, and Tightrope was actually the first song that I fully self-produced. And once I did the one song, it kind of indicated to me that I could do more.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a thing I wonder sometimes about artists when they are self-producing and stuff. The fact that they don't have someone else to offer some input. And I think we were kind of talking a little bit beforehand about artists in the past who maybe like signed with a record label. They went into a studio, They got a producer. The producer had some history, some reputation, some ideas. And I think some producers probably exerted an awful lot of influence on a lot of albums.
Yeah.
And sometimes that was maybe good.
Yeah.
You can certainly hear albums where it's like, wow, man, I don't even know what that would have sounded like if that producer hadn't been involved in it.
Yeah.
But I think there are probably a lot of stories about albums who the creative control over the end result probably got away from the artist pretty fast. And so it seems like there's this kind of tension between getting what you want and having some other perspectives to help inform that. And maybe you kind of had, you know, having a co-producer that could help you with that. It seems like maybe that's a good thing.
Morgan, did you exert your influence on this album?
I think at times he'll listen to something like a million times in a day, and he'll say, oh, I'm not going to listen to it for a week. And then 10 minutes later, he'll be listening to it again. So I think it's helpful because I'm there to give an opinion, but I hold no actual authority over what goes out. So it's a nice check and balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing that's actually great about the partnership, because, I mean, again, it might seem like I'm kind of joking by calling Morgan my co-producer, but really, I mean, it's so useful to have someone who's not afraid to tell you, that's just not very good. And man, I mean, it sounds like that's throwing shade at Morgan. It's not. Like, she informed me of things that I wasn't aware of, but she also had a lot of constructive criticism as far as sample sounds, song structures, lyrics, and things like that. So it was a natural partnership, obviously.
Well, and at times, like, people think I'm really harsh on Adrian, but I think because I do love him, I don't want to see him put out something that isn't at his full potential. So at times I would just say, hey, I just don't think that's good. Like, I'm sorry, but I think you should go a different direction. But in the long run, we usually always agreed. And so I think it was a good system.
My favorite line is, you can't put that out.
Yeah, I did say that a few times.
A couple of vetoes.
Yeah, but again, I totally respect her opinion. And in retrospect, she's 100% right.
I think that, I do think that that's pretty important. It's rare, or maybe non-existent, is the person who can truly be objective about anything, really, but especially things that they're creating. It's just, I mean, that's not in our nature. So being able to have some input that is more objective and could kind of help you just realize some things, it seems like that could be pretty valuable, pretty important to help, you know, come up with something that really is going to hit with a lot of people. So
absolutely.
I think it's helpful too that I don't actually create music. Like, if you're working with a studio, those are all people who create and make music. And I think if you're just listening if you're just helping as a listener, it helps change your perspective, because I'm not listening for time signatures or like this clip or this issue. It's like, how would I like this as just someone who's on Apple Music or Spotify? And so I think you can be more objective because you're not seeing all the nitpicky things all the time.
That's very true. However, you're starting to learn a lot of things, because as a quote listener, you sure do know how to pick out when a song has too much compression.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be careful. You don't get drafted into the legion of audio nerds.
That's yeah. Right. That's right. I know. Man, the amount of things I learned because I was, you know, first time doing recording and mixing, and then I also tried my hand at mastering. The amount, like, there's no end to the depth of knowledge, you know, but that is part of the fun.
Yeah. Well, it's got to feel pretty good to be at the, like, to cross, maybe this isn't true, but feels like there is, maybe it isn't the finish line, but there's definitely a milepost for the release, right? It's mm-hmm. Like, wow, that's got to feel pretty nice to have it out there. But I guess that probably isn't the finish line, because in the end, you want to get more people to hear it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the point of it. Maybe it isn't. Maybe for some people, the creation is the thing.
The true artists.
I don't know. But it seems like most artists, they create it with the goal to share it with people.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the next, maybe that's the second finish line, is figuring out ways to connect to people and get them to actually hear it.
Yeah. I mean, growing and the urge to want to continue to grow is innate in all of us, I think. Most of us, hopefully. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely not the end. I think, like I was saying to you before we started broadcasting, if only I knew at the beginning what I know now, like, it would just be such a different album, and I can't wait to explore what I've learned going forward. I already have songs in the works, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to know. I have to imagine that even people that have done this a lot of times, I would guess that most of them probably find that to be true, maybe to a lesser degree each time. But it's like, yeah, at the end of this, I've learned things that I didn't have when I started. And so the next time, it's going to be informed by more things, and things, you know, it just keeps getting better. Like I said, I imagine there's some point at which that sort of stops, the trajectory flattens out, I would guess. Yeah. But
right.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe we want to listen to a cut or two off the album, and then we can talk about.
Sure. Do you have a preference, Morgan?
My favorite is Maybe Tomorrow.
Do you want to hear that one?
Sure.
All right.
All right.
Can I tell you how much I love you when I'm no good with words? How can I tell you what I was before you when I know that it will hurt? Where can I take you? What can I buy you to remind you that you're my girl? When I got no money, yeah, I got no nothing, but I promised you the world. Oh, baby, I talk too much for my own good, but maybe can find a way to win big like I said I would. Maybe tomorrow I'll find a way, I'll figure out what to do. Maybe tomorrow or maybe today I can make it all come true. I can make it all come true.
All right. That sounded great. So you played the horns on that song. You play most of the instruments on the album?
Actually, no. The only thing I am doing on that song is playing guitar, singing the main vocal, and singing the backing vocal. The bass is played by the legendary Eddie T, who I love very much. And the drums, I'm sorry to admit, are programmed by me. The horns are actually played by Oren Gunderson. Are you familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent horn player. And yeah, I can't wait to work with him again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's the musical talent in this valley is just crazy.
It's utterly shocking.
Yeah, I saw Oren at Red Tractor for one of the jazz nights, and he was playing with Alex Platt and Mike Carey, and it's just like,
yeah,
man, you just walk in and
it's so whoa. Cool.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah, for the longest time Eddie had been you know, inviting Morgan and I to go to the Red Tractor Jazz Nights. And a couple months ago, we finally went, and it just blew us away. The talent that was existing before our eyes. And yeah, you would not expect that caliber of talent to exist in Bozeman. I don't know why, but I didn't expect that.
Yeah, so. I didn't either. It's you know, I think the music scene here has ebbed and flowed over the years a lot. And like when I first got here in the 80s, mid-80s, there were a lot of places that had live music. A lot of it was, I mean, there was a lot of local stuff, but there were quite a few touring bands at that time. And then the drinking age went up, and then it went up again, and then I don't know what all happened, but like the live music scene just kind of evaporated almost. And then it kind of came back, and then it's, you know, it seems like it's maybe like cyclical or something, but right now it's definitely on a high peak and you know, across genres. And I think that's one of the things, and you know, I think this is probably true in a lot of places, unless you're in a kind of a jazz hotspot, but it seems like jazz maybe is kind of a hard one to find places like venues that are going to have a regular jazz stuff. But,
right.
You know, Red Tractor, man, kudos.
Yeah.
For letting people play there. And
I mean, I won't lie. When I first moved here, I did hear about the jazz night at Red Tractor Pizza without ever having been there. And I felt kind of a judgmental wave come over me. I was like, there's no way that can be good. And I'm sorry to admit that. I was clearly wrong, 100% wrong. But yeah, it's so cool that it does happen every Friday. I'm pretty sure Alex Robolata, is it Robolata?
Yeah.
Used to work there, and that must be how he nailed that gig. But it's such a great pillar of our world, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty big jazz nerds now. We watched like a 14-hour documentary on jazz, and it was amazing for anyone else who wants to watch it.
By Ken Burns.
Yeah, it was amazing. And we ended up going to Red Tractor Pizza like 9 weeks in a row or something. Like, we haven't been there in a while because we've been out of town. But anytime we can rope people into going with us, we always try to, because we're like, you have to see it. Like, it's so amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it just, like, you know, there's something so cool about going and watching Eddie, too, and, you know, he's just shredding away. And just for me personally, it's like, that guy's on my album. Like, it just makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, you just get that bump.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, the drummers there, that's my favorite part. Whatever drummer they have, because they have a few kind of go through besides Alex, but they're all just amazing.
Adam Greenberg, you mean?
Yeah,
Adam's good, too. Like, they can just play such intricate rhythms, and they all play in completely different styles because they also have like the open jam session on like the one Sunday per month.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
they had like five drummers come through one time, and they were all completely different, but all just amazing. It was so cool.
Yeah, definitely. I hope, I definitely hope to get some live drums on my next album. That is how the original one started out, and I hope I didn't scare off Alex Platt from working with me ever again by not using like 99% of what we did together. But I don't think I knew how to use the resources I was given at the time. But now I think I have so much more knowledge that I would be able to kind of be a much better leader. So hopefully, you know, Alex Platt or Greenberg or there's some other guys out there who I definitely am like watching and just waiting for the right moment to be like, do you want to be on my album?
Nice.
So,
yeah. Maybe we'll give another track a spin.
Yeah. Speaking of jazz guys, let's see. Josh Zaldanis played on a couple tracks. People are really liking the song Blackbird Drive.
Yeah, that one is definitely one that that caught my attention. So
awesome.
All right, here we go. Blackbird Drive from the album On a Tightrope. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
let me try. I know in the end everything will be alright, oh yeah. You just wait and see.
You said Josh played on that, and Oren also played?
Yeah, Oren plays that little trumpet bit on the bridge. And then, yeah, Zaldanus is playing sax on the whole thing. And, yeah, we were just saying during the music break, we were just talking with each other and just really admiring Josh Zaldanus and the passion that he plays with. I think it really comes through on the end of Blackbird Drive, because there's this moment, I'd say halfway through the solo, where it's like, I definitely wouldn't call it a mistake by any means, but you can tell he's like reaching for something almost, and then he finds it, and then he just goes off, and I just love it. Yeah, it was great recording with him.
Nice. So, already accumulating stuff and starting to think about the next album, huh?
A little bit, yeah. Yes, a little bit. I can't say I have a whole song even written yet, but I think we counted about 6 ideas, so it's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said we'd take a break. But that was a lie, because on his little whiteboard at home above his desk, yeah, there's already a whole new list of songs. So I don't know when this break will come, but maybe in between the demos, I guess.
There you go.
I mean, the break is happening. I mean, I gotta earn a ton of money. But once that happens, you know.
You have to pay for our wedding first.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you'll pay for the album.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Things are ordered.
They are.
Yeah. Definitely.
On the whiteboard, I will say in big letters, it does say plan wedding, and it's underlined. So it's clearly a priority.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not a song title that you just haven't let no. make yet.
Yeah, surprise.
Surprise. Yeah, I'm not really... I'm not planning. I'm just that's the working title of this song. Have you got a feel for like it? Will there be new directions? Kind of different feels, different.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to predict. I have ideas. But the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Yeah, I think continuing down a similar path of a song like Blackbird Drive, where there's like a tinge of jazz, there's a tinge of driving beat to it. Like there's still pop music elements to it, where it is slightly predictable intentionally. But I'll definitely explore new time signatures, new instruments, and yeah, who knows where it will actually go though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you said your first album kind of changed direction pretty radically at some point.
Very radically, yes. And yeah, I mean, I may have already said this, so forgive me if I have, but yeah, that all started with the song Tightrope. I already had a full album basically before I wrote that song, and then when Tightrope was written and I demoed it, to me, it just felt like a whole departure from what I had done before and just kind of a level up. And that became the first song that I actually self-produced. And yeah, I mean, you never know when a moment like that will happen. So who knows if these six ideas I have right now will ever be anything, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these forks in the road come along for people all the time, and you have to be observant enough to notice that there is a fork, mm-hmm. instead of just stay to the right, and flexible enough to take advantage of it when the time is right. And I think that can be a pretty big leap, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's shockingly freeing to take a body of work and just say, I'm letting this go. Because yeah, when you're making or writing new songs, sometimes they can hold you back from where you could really be.
Yeah.
And when you've already put so much effort and love into them, it's really sad to be like, oh man, no, not that one. I love that one. No. But then like once you cut it off, it's like, I'm a whole new man, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing can stop me.
I'm ready to move. I can move fast now.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Yeah. Do you want to listen to Tightrope, or is there another one you'd like to?
I would say we should probably listen to Tightrope because we've talked about it so much.
And the ending's really funny.
Yes.
It is. Yeah, famous I love movie. The ending.
Thank you.
10:08.
Yep, I was literally just wrapping up that demo.
That's what you always say.
I swear to God, I was like, oh, she's coming up the stairs because she's upset, but I was literally just wrapping up that demo. And it's still recording this entire conversation.
Good, now people...
I love that.
Morgan, is the ending of Tightrope real or fake?
It's real.
So real.
it was very real.
I did not know he was recording, and I planned out a beautiful day for us. I was like, we can do all these fun things together, and where is he making another demo? And so, yes, I was like, half the morning is gone, because he gets up at like 6 a.m. every day. He's an early riser. So I was like, 4 hours have passed. Like, our day has to start.
Yeah, people have asked if that was scripted, and no, it was very real. In fact, when it gets cut off, good, now people know. And then it cuts off. She's actually saying, good, now people will know how evil you are.
But I didn't swear anything, so no. I think that was better.
But she wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I guess that's the perils of being with a musician. The muse is a competitor.
Yes.
I've gotten better at balancing that, though.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot better. When we were first dating,
I'm on the tightrope with that.
Yeah. Before, it was not nearly as good, but now it's a lot better.
Nice.
Yeah. And I guess we should probably mention that's more Josh Zaldanis sax.
Yeah, that was a tasty lead in there. I really like that.
Yeah, man. I remember when we were recording that one. And again, we were recording this in our house, and we live in a condo. And I thought it was loud when we did trumpet. I've never recorded a sax before, and wow, like that was loud. But yeah, when we were doing takes, like it was obviously, there's that stretch, that instrumental stretch between verses where he did the solo. And then when his solo was over, I was like ready to click the off button on record, and he just kept going. And it was just one of those things where, like, again, Josh Zaldanis, I don't know what he's doing, but he just, like, went off on this fairy tale, like, Chinese melody. I don't know. And that's what I ended up using for the intro.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an adventure. I mean, that's the great thing, I think, about music. You can kind of reorder things and things shift in the execution, and that's why I like to see live music. It's like, well, you know, sometimes, yeah, there are clams, and you know, oops, that didn't go quite the way it was planned. But sometimes it's like, oh wow, that didn't go quite the way it was planned, but yay, you know, it went to this whole new level. So
yeah, I'd say that's kind of the battle of recording sometimes, because I think it's easy when you first start to want to overcorrect every little mistake. But then you slowly start to realize, like, those little mistakes, like in all your favorite Beatles songs or whatever, like that's what makes the song. So I tried to get a lot better about not editing every little thing. And yeah, leaving in little mistakes or going flat here and there in my voice. And I just look forward to capturing more live magical moments on the next one.
All right. Well, do we want to maybe listen to one more?
Morgan, any requests?
We should do Friend in You, because I think that's your mom's favorite.
All right. We should do Friend in You for my mom.
Me, but I'm here.
Right. Well, I hope Adrian's mom heard that.
I believe she did.
Awesome. That's a nice song. If you're picking a favorite, that one for a favorite, that's in bounds for sure.
Yeah. I was surprised to hear that one is many people's favorite, but I can't complain.
No. I want to thank you both again for coming in tonight. And love sitting and chatting about music and how to make music and talking about songs and stuff. So I always have a good time. So I appreciate it. And I hope people are out there listening to the album. It's on the streaming services, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. If you wish to reach me on social media with my measly follower count, you can find me at Trademark Adrian J. And yeah, that would be a good way to find out more about what's next.
Cool. Yeah. And, keep it tuned right here to KGVM. Those songs will be showing up here and there through the rotation, and, we'll see where things go. I'm looking forward to the next album.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You bet.